was fun, you know. But sometimes when we read the Bible, we're going to read this passage again that we've read. This has kind of been our theme here, talking about being the light of the world. We can look at it as though it's fun or it's creative or as though it's something that's enjoyable, and it is, but we can forget that being the light of the world, actually emanating in a dark place, it's not just a game. It's not a toy. Anybody who's ever been in a dark place knows what it's like to be in that dark place. What's important is that we understand that light is not just this optional thing. It's not just something that we choose every once in a while. Light is something that is vital. It is necessary for us to be able to live and to function and to have stability. Go back to our Matthew chapter 5 here, verse 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the very same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." It ends it here talking about letting our light shine to the world, but it sets it up and it makes a very important point about light and why we should be the light of the world. You know, we see there where it says, you don't, you know, take a lamp and put it under a bowl. A town built on a hill can't be hidden. So what does it say? No, you put it on a stand. You promote this thing. You put it out there. Why do you do that? Because we need light. Light has a purpose. There's a reason for that light. And sometimes we can lose sight of the fact that light actually does serve a purpose. We serve a purpose. There's a reason why our example as the light of the world matters. It's not just being pleasant to people and being kind and being forgiving and saying good day and sharing with others. And it's not just these nice, fun things. It's not a game. It may feel like it's not that big a deal to us, but that's because we have light. For those of us who are Christians, for those of us who know what it means to actually have a relationship with God, we have light. You know, I told you the example about my wife and how she bumped herself. Well, guess what she did as she frowned and stumbled over there? She turned the light on. There was light to be had. She knew where to go to get that light. What happens when you turn it on and the light doesn't come on? What happens when there are people who are living in darkness and there is no light going to come on, no matter what switch they flip? Very often we can take for granted the light that exists and the knowledge of where that light switch is. And sometimes we even choose to stay in the dark because we don't want to see what's there. But it says, no, this light, you don't hide it. You don't put it under a bowl, because light has a purpose. That purpose is to promote who God is. As Christians, our mission is to promote God through our lifestyle, through who it is that God has made us be, how we've been transformed. People should know that we're living in a way that is godly, in a way that is right, because it emanates. That example of being light, it matters because it emanates. See, you know, we can look around here and there are various different people, heights and shades and colors and everything else. Guess what? It has that mean, you know, none of us glow. I'm sure if it were dark in here, we turned light, I wouldn't be able to see anybody. At least I would hope you're not glowing. But the fact of the matter is, when it's talking about light and that light emanating and being seen from up on a hill, it means that your spirit, your spirituality, your walk with God, it should emanate. See, it's very easy for us to, you know, sometimes hand out a tract or talk to somebody about God, but does your lifestyle shine and emanate your relationship with God as well. Now this, I bring this up, this is a model. Years ago, I used to actually do a little bit of modeling. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I learned an awful lot about, frankly, what goes into modeling and some of the ugly side of it, if you want to call it that, the eating disorders that people have because there's such pressure to be thin and all these different things. And a lot of times what happens is we look at models, pick up a magazine, you'll flip through it, or you'll, you know, see something on the website or on TV. You'll see these people advertising. Now, I did a few like ads and things like that, but most of my modeling was runway modeling. It was very difficult to find male models to actually model clothes. But the one thing about models that's so interesting that a lot of people don't realize is that models generally don't not only pick the clothes that they're going to model, but they really don't even care. Right? Like when you're a model, a runway model, you literally go down, you do your runway, you do your turn, you go across the T, you know, you do your little thing, and then you go back. And as soon as you get back out of visibility, you are like sprinting back to the dressing room, shedding clothes, because you got to put on a new outfit. You got to put on new clothes. There are times when some of the ugliest clothes I've ever seen with my own two eyes, I had to wear it. Because, you know, I wasn't like a really big time model or anything like that. So it was like, you know, amateurs and people who were, you know, amateur designers. And it was like, oh my God, this hit. You know what? I don't have time for this. I've got to put this on and I've got to go out there and do my little stretch. The model doesn't care about the clothes. You know, the model expects that the light's going to shine a certain way, but the model has a job to do. And it isn't to worry about the clothes or the designer or how many people are out there. The one thing about being on stage is eventually you don't even see the people because you have a job to do. You have a particular purpose, and your job is to display these clothes. Just like the crew behind them. We're going to talk about the crew here in a second, but just like the crew, that the lighting crew and the stage crew and the people behind that are helping, they have a job to do. And one of them is not to count the ticket sales or worry about all these other things. We have a job when it comes to being the light of the world. And very often, we get consumed with other ancillary things, other people's jobs, things that don't even involve us. And we forget that our focus in being the light, not only does it have a purpose, but it's all that we should be really concerned about. Let's look over here in John chapter 12, starting verse 27. It says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up, "Heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever, so how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the light does not know where they are. Whoever walks in the dark, does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. We see here another example of light, and what Jesus is telling them very clearly, let's look at this in two different ways. One, we see here that Jesus says, what am I supposed to say to this situation that's been thrust upon me? Like, I don't want it. I'm not going to do it. He says, no, this is exactly why I came in the first place. He understands very clearly his purpose. He understands the situation. When it comes to being the light of the world, we have to understand the situation. We have to understand many times the predicament that we're put in. Because sometimes we just don't want to be the light. You know, another way of putting it is sometimes we don't want to be the bigger man. We don't want to take the high road. We don't necessarily want to display those qualities of light in a dark situation. But we see here Jesus is saying, no, actually this is why I came. But then it goes on. He talks about, he says here, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become children of light. It's very hard to walk in the dark without a light. You know, they had this question that they're asking him. And we sang this song last week. What did he say? And if I be lifted up, I'll draw the people to me. I'll draw all men to me. See, sometimes we forget that the light that we're expected to shine, the light that's supposed to emanate from us, isn't even about us. The purpose of the light isn't necessarily so that we can know where we're going, but we have to shine that light so that others can be able to see the direction. It's like, you know, how all the, one of the things I learned this when I had my stores in Atlanta, because you just, again, you take it for granted. But all exit lights in public spaces have to be backed up by a battery. Why? Because if the lights go out, people have to know where to find the door. People have to know where to go. You know, doesn't matter if it's cloudy, sunny, rainy, whatever it is, there's lights on a runway. You Air Force people know this, right? You know, you guys who've ever worked out on a runway, those lights are indicators. They all have to work. Why? Because they serve as guides. They let the pilot know, okay, we're on track. You know, they operate and they use the dials, but the fact is that runway has to be lit. It has to be seen. It has to have a certain illumination. As Christians, the same thing applies for us. It matters. We have a purpose behind our light. It's not just when we want to or how we feel in that moment, but we have a purpose in that light. And it's not about us. It's not just about how we feel. Like I said, it's like being a model. I mean, it didn't matter to me what clothes they were. I wore the clothes because I had a purpose. I was displaying something. I was showing something. It matters that I focus on that, because sometimes we'll get caught up in, well, I don't understand why this person doesn't have to do it. Or I don't understand why this person is allowed to do this thing, or why it doesn't work for them. And we can forget that we shine, but we have to understand why we're shining. And part of understanding why we're shining is understand, what is God's purpose for me in this situation? What is he doing? So that we don't get caught up in, well, that person didn't look this way, or that person didn't do their job, or that person. We have to be the light, because maybe God knows what's going on with them, but he expects you to be the one to guide the way. He expects your exit light. He expects your guidance to emanate for others to follow. You know, I was talking about these spotlights, and the other thing is yesterday I competed in a competition. It was a bodybuilding show. And years ago, it's been about 15 years, my buddy Dusty and I, we actually, he started doing a show in Cincinnati that we did at the University of Cincinnati about 4 years. And what's interesting about lighting is that all shows, and it doesn't matter if it's a Broadway play or a competition of some sort, you know, sometimes I'll flick through ESPN and I'll see they'll have like the cheerleading competition and stuff. Here's the thing. You'll see these people performing. You'll see all of these people on display. And what we kind of forget is that the lighting has to be right. You never really notice how much lighting matters until you need it. Not just even to be able to see your way, but, you know, when you're a competitive, like, bodybuilder or a fitness competition, if it's poor lighting, your body doesn't show all the details that you want it to show. Or, you know, when a theatric performance, if we go to Sight and Sound or something, we go there and we watch these things, or we see Hollywood films, and we forget how much the lighting crew matters. It has to show the right thing. If the spotlight's supposed to be over here and I got it even just a couple feet off, especially from the distance that it's showing, just a couple feet off, that person might be singing and thinking, and the audience is thinking, well, where's that sound coming from? They don't know where to look without the spotlight. We just kind of can take for granted when we see the experts and the professionals, the people who are doing it the best, we forget, well, why do they make the big money? It's just holding a spotlight because they take their job seriously because it always matters to them and they pay attention to detail. And we look and think, well, how is it that they make so much money? Because they're flawless. They're faultless in the way that they go about shining the light. The spotlight matters, but what's so important when it comes to the Christian walk, when it comes to being a disciple of Christ, is understanding that the spotlight may be on the actors, but just because we're not the actor or the actress, just because the spotlight's on us doesn't mean the spotlight matters any less. What's important is we understand that if your job is to be that technician or that person who shines the light in the stage crew, it may not seem like it to the rest of the crowd and everybody else who's, you know, doing reviews on this play. Guess what? You in that spotlight, you're the most important person to that person on stage in that moment. When we think about shining the light on Jesus, guess what? You may not think of your job as being that important to put the spotlight on Christ through your life and through your living, but to somebody watching, in order for them to see Jesus correctly, it's dependent upon you to shine that light very accurately and correctly. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll finish up here, starting in verse 1, says, "And then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And these things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this." You might think, well, it's kind of odd. Like, this doesn't talk anything about light and shining light, but in a very specific manner, it kind of does. You know, it talks about not getting caught up in civilian affairs. Those of you all who have served in the military understand this, that when you're given orders, when you're given instructions in a job to do, you just do it. Unless there's something that's going to, you know, violate some really serious moral code or principle, or there's some danger, you can bring it up. But the fact of the matter is you have a job to do. And very often what keeps us from really shining the light is that we want to become the director all of a sudden, right? We want to become the producer. We want to become the writer. We want to become everything else except for what we are called to do, which is to be the light. We want to, well, shouldn't the spotlight be over here? Well, shouldn't we dim the lights a little bit more? When the fact of the matter is God's making it very clear to us, I want you to shine a light. Don't get caught up in civilian affairs. Don't get caught up in all the other distractions. I've given you your orders. I've given you your instructions. The best lighting crew, the best stage crew, the best show performances that you see are always, it's not always the best actors and the best singers. Because let's face it, there's plenty of people that can sing. There's plenty of people that can act. There's tons of people out there with talent. But those actors and those singers and those performers, they line up and they will do anything and everything to be a part of the best directors. Why? Because the best directors have the best stage crews. Because their lighting crew never misses a beat. We have to want to know our part and do our part. If we're operating the spotlight, we have to want to be the best at operating that spotlight instead of being overly concerned with other ancillary details. As Christians, we should shine the light and illuminate the things that God instructs us to. We should be most focused and most interested in being the light that God instructs us to be. Wherever he wants us to shine, whenever he wants us to be the brightest, we should do it, but we should do it understanding that he knows why he wants us to shine. He knows why he wants us in this particular situation. There are plenty of times where it's like, well, I don't understand. I feel like I'm better at this. Why am I having to be in this situation? Why is this thrust upon me? And oftentimes we don't understand that that's why we're not the director. That's why we're not the producer. That's why we're not the one who organizes it. Now, maybe one day later, God will give us some insight on that. What does he say? Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. You will have better understanding, but it starts with obedience. It starts with us wanting to do what we are tasked to do, which is being the light of the world. And that's where we have the challenge. As we go through more talking about being the light, what it means to be that light, be that example of Christ to the world, we have to very often get over the temptation and the desire to not just be the light of the world, but we want to tell the world what it should and should not do instead of just following the orders in which God gives us. A few questions I want to end with here. Where does your light shine the brightest? And what situation are you most likely to hide it away? We see in that example where it talks about, you know, you don't hide, you know, that lamp. You know, that city on the hill that's shining bright can't be hidden. But very often, we hide. And the question we have to ask ourselves, why do we hide? What is it that we're hiding from? Why is it that we hide the light? And it could be something as simple as, you know, the holidays are coming up. Here in a couple weeks, we're going to have, you know, Thanksgiving, and inevitably we'll have to sit through another Cowboys game. I've been considering going to Jimmy's house for Thanksgiving, but I don't know now. But either way, it's Thanksgiving. We're going to be around family and friends. Will we shine our light there, or will we kind of dim it a little bit? Will we take it back? And what does that mean? What does it even mean to shine the light around your family and friends? In what ways do we shine the brightest? What are the areas of your life and your walk with God where you can shine the brightest? Where your strength, where your growth in your relationship with God has been the most? How do you shine that light the brightest? Have I lost my appreciation for what living in darkness means? Do I take the light of my life for granted? I ask this question specifically thinking of how those of us who've been Christians for a while, those of us who maybe are in, you know, good relationships with our spouses and other family, and maybe, you know, maybe you're not going to Jimmy and Polly, maybe you're going to somebody else's house and it's a little more pleasant or something. I don't know. But the fact is, what happens when you get in these places where it's dark? Do we lose appreciation for the fact that it's a dark world? That everybody doesn't have light? Just like we don't have all have power. You know, I can come over here and flip a light switch on and off. Do we take for granted that we have the light? That we know where to find the light? Because when we're tempted to not want to shine the brightest, when we're tempted to be dim, when we're tempted to not want to share about who Christ is, very often it's because we've forgotten what it's like to be without him. Those of us who've who know the Bible, we know the word, we know what it is to find strength and get answers from prayer. We can kind of forget what it's like for those who are just out there and they don't know. Do we take for granted? Have we lost an appreciation for what it is to have light? Have we forgotten what it is to be in darkness? As a promoter, I put in quotes here, as a promoter of the gospel, do you know your duties and responsibilities? Are you concerned about things that don't involve you? You know, I say this because even in just the church context, sometimes we can forget that God is so much bigger than, you know, what's going on here in the congregation here at the Dover Church of Christ. Sometimes we can forget that God is so much bigger than Sunday morning worship service. We can kind of forget that God knows all things. He's everywhere. He's all-encompassing. And so the things that are on his mind, the things that he's thinking about, and the reasons why he has you where you are doing what he wants you to do may not make sense to us. But are we concerned with our job, which is shining the light? Are we concerned with just being the spotlight operator? Or are we looking other places and thinking about other things and critical of all these things, not understanding that God is in control and he knows what he wants to get done? Do we understand that in order to effectively promote and perfect and to effectively preach and effectively share the word and share the gospel, the good news with others, that we have to be concerned about our duties and responsibilities? We have to be concerned about our light. We can't worry about everybody else's light. We can't even be afraid to go out into the dark places. Why? Because that's why we have the light. So that those who are seeking the light can find it through us. We are the exit sign that always stays illuminated because we're not just running off of the power that everybody else is running off of. Do we appreciate that? Do we understand our responsibilities? Or are we concerned with other things? And finally, and I would almost argue most importantly, is there any darkness in my world that needs a spotlight shined on it? What will I see when I take the time to look? We'll dig into this a little more next week, but what's so important is that very often, not only do we dim the lights a little bit and we're not willing to shine the light as brightly as we could because maybe we don't want to draw attention to ourselves, not understanding that it's really not about us, but sometimes we don't want to draw attention to ourselves because we know we have some areas that we need to clean up. You know, that there's the thing where it's like, hey, you know, my house is filthy. I need to clean up. But if I just keep the lights off, I won't see it. You know? And you think, well, how nonsensical, right? You know, with my kids, I have two of them, and with my kids, even if you can't see it, you can probably smell it if you leave it long enough. Like, eventually, you have to deal with this filth, this uncleanliness, this untidiness that you've got going on, but too often we don't want to turn around. We don't want to put a spotlight on it because we don't want to deal with it. What areas of your life do you need to deal with some uncleanliness? What areas of your life do you need to deal with and take a good hard look? Because if we're in an honest moment, the reason why some of us, not all of us, but the reason why some of us aren't the Christians aren't able, and why we don't feel confident in being able to share the gospel with people, isn't because we don't know enough or because we can't share because we don't know the word. Sometimes because we know that somebody will say, but hey, doesn't that make you a hypocrite? The way that didn't you, but isn't that how you live? And so instead of cleaning it up, we want to hide. What part of our life do we need to shine the light on so that we can clean it up and deal with it so that we can be effective in being that light of the world? What is it that we're turning a blind eye to? If you're someone who has never had that light shine on your life, but you want to be made well. You want to get clean. You, spiritually, you want something more than living in darkness. You want answers. You want to be able to know that you are forgiven. Then now is a good time. Don't wait. Don't leave with questions. Don't just remain in darkness when the light is there for you to be able to see your way. If you're in that place, come forward as we stand and sing our song of invitation. If you are someone who maybe you have been hiding, maybe you haven't been willing to shine your light like that city on the hill, like that lamp, because you know that you've got some spots, some areas where you don't really, you know they're not right, but you know you need to come clean. As a church, let us pray for you. Let us pray with you. Let's get to a place where we are confident and we have conviction about not only what the word says, but that we are living it, that we are emanating this light so that other people can see it through our lives as well. Please stand as we sing our song of invitation.